Father, we love you. We want more of you, Lord. We want you to, we want to be filled, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to the point, Lord, that we're saturated and we're listening to every word you say, Lord. That's my cry. That's my prayer, Lord. That's my wish, is to be filled completely, Lord. And I know everybody here wants to be done the same way, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you that at some point in time, the glory, your glory is going to fall on us. And we're going to be into that manifold glory that you promised us, called the latter rain and the former rain to its fullest measure. And Father, we thank you that that's going to happen. I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing tonight in each one of us, Lord, that your anointing upon each one of us, Lord, would be to glorify you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we do have an open heaven, that the things that we pray, Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to be answered. And we trust you, Lord, that our prayers are answered. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. And we praise you, Father, for your protection upon us in the days ahead, that you do have us encapsulated in your supernatural protection. And we thank you, Lord, that that's happening. Praise you, Lord, for all that you do tonight in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Let's see. Somebody may not be muted. I don't know. But anyway, has anybody got any prayer requests? Let me see. Kurt, I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Well, listen, I'm going to pray, and I ask that y'all would agree with me in faith that God would answer it. Lord, you've told us that you will cast down this martial law stuff that they're planning if we just pray and we believe. And Father, I thank you that you're going to cast this down, cast this plans for martial law down in the name of Jesus, and that there would be no major martial law in this United States. Lord, we bind up the works of the enemy that's trying to coerce this and trying to promote this in the minds of the government, Lord, and the leaders of the government. And we count it as all null and void in Jesus' name. We cast down all the plans of the enemy for any kind of a martial law in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your angels are up there right now as hornets scattering the enemy, Lord, confusing the enemy with the corrupt and evil leadership in these United States, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that your hornets are up there sending them on the way in 15 different directions, Lord, that they all get mad at one another like evil people do, Lord. And I thank you that you're doing it. I thank you, Father, for upsetting the plans of the enemy. Lord, we just thank you because we know that we have this open heaven. We know, Lord, that our faith is such because you have placed that faith in us. And we believe that when we pray, we're going to get it, that it's going to happen. Lord, I just praise you for bringing down this corrupt government and installing one that would be beneficial, would be favorable toward your Christian, your true Christians, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you bring down the corrupt preachers that are making hundreds of millions of dollars. And Lord, and give that money to the people that need it, Lord. And I thank you that you're doing that. And I ask, Lord, that these evil billionaires like George Soros and those type of people who are trying to disrupt everything in this universe, Lord, that you would take their money away and humiliate and humble them, Lord, and maybe they'll turn to you, Father. I don't know, you know. But, Father, I ask that you do that and give that money to the people who need it, Lord. There's people all over this world that are in need of it, that are hungry, that are in need of clothing and shelter and protection from these radical Muslims, Lord, and every one of them are radical because that's part of their belief system. And Father, we thank you that you're going to purge this country of those radical Muslims, the ones that are causing trouble, and that'd be almost all of them, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to do that. Lord, you know what has to be done, and I just trust that you're going to do it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else got any prayer requests?
I would like to pray.
Okay, you go right ahead, girl.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this day, Lord. We glorify you. We give you all honor and glory, Lord, for today, Father God, for the manna that you've given us today, Lord. And just I pray, Father God, right now, would you put on my heart, Father God, for the saints, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for a spirit of intercession to be upon the saints, Father God, a spirit of prayer to be loosed upon them, Father God, an anointing, Father God, for them to be able to pray for the things, not just the things that we need, Father God, but the things that you want, Father God. Your will be done, Father God, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I pray, Lord, that you would put it on their hearts, Father God, to ask you and seek you what you want us to pray about, Father God, that it might be done, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, for times of refreshing, Father God, over every single one of the saints, Father God, on the line right now, Lord, that need to be refreshed in the spirit, Father God, whose faith needs to be built up, Father God. I pray that you send forth believers, Father God, true believers to sharpen iron, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, for just the oil of gladness to be upon them, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you would just be a lamp upon their feet, Father God, and just guide them, Father God, in everything, Lord, every little thing, Father God. Let everything, Father God, be put at your altar, Father God, that we not make decisions without you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that every one of our prayers that have been sent forth, Lord, that have not received an answer, Father God, I just bind up the devils, Father God, all principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness that are hindering our answers to prayer, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you loose those prayers, Father God, to all of us who by faith pray to you, Father God, and ask and is just waiting for our answer to prayers, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for times of refreshing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe that too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Angelica. That was a good prayer.
Absolutely. We're going to have you step up here and pray a lot more.
That was the Lord putting it on my heart.
I know.
I did that today. I said, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? And then an anointing fell over me to intercede for a family member that wasn't saved. And I said, I need to remember to do that more often.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Anybody else?
Michael, I need some prayer, please.
Okay.
Not feeling well. Like, been battling flu-like symptoms and exhaustion and fever and sore throat and just a yucky stomach and just really wrung out and weak. And then
okay.
My second prayer request is from my brother Randy. He's going through some really hard times, and he's his faith has just wavered back and forth. And I just talked to him a little bit ago, and he doesn't even want me to talk to him about Jesus no more. So.
Okay. Well, let's do that.
He had strong faith. He had bold faith, and just today something happened. So if you could pray for those, please.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you that we can come to you for all these requests. And Lord, we know because we trust you, Lord. We know that when with our faith that you have given us, that faith that you have given us, Lord, that you're going to answer our prayers. And it might not be in the time frame that we like, Lord, but we know it's going to be answered. And we're going to rest in ourselves. We're going to rest in you, Lord. We're going to abide in you to see all these things come to pass. In the name of Jesus, right now, I come against these flu-like symptoms on Jackie. I command them to go right now in Jesus' name, that she is completely healed of every symptom in Jesus' name. And I command every symptom that's there that has tried to take some of her health be restored as new. Her body be restored as new. And I thank you, Lord, that those symptoms are gone in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up Randy to you. Father, we just ask and we pray, Lord. And we thanking you for his salvation. We're thanking you, Father, that you're doing a mighty miracle in that man, that you're going to turn his eyes towards you. And Lord, it don't make any difference what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears. We're believing that you're working a work in him, a miracle, supernatural miracle work of God in him to turn him to you, Lord, to where he would cry out to you, Father, for mercy. And Lord, I thank you that you have granted him repentance and you are drawing him to you right now, even as we speak. He doesn't realize it, but you are, Lord. And I thank you, Randy is here. He is being saved and he's going to be delivered and healed all at the same time, Father, and filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and be a mighty man of God. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for doing a quick work in Randy in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for putting Jackie in the rest. Put that joy in her heart, Lord, and to know that you are in charge. All these circumstances that come up, it's because you've ordained them to make us mature saints of God. And I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that our prayers are answered because you've already told us that we have an open window to heaven. And we believe it. We trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Jackie?
Amen. I do. Thank you Amen. So much. Amen.
Praise God.
I'll just thank back you, off Lord. With my brother, and we had been talking a lot about the Lord, and he was really getting encouraged, and now just today, discouragement, but I'll just, pray behind the scenes and keep standing in faith for him, and I'm sure by tomorrow he'll be, or right even this moment, he's going to be right back with the Lord.
Yeah, amen. Well, you can see God working, can't you?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Listen, anytime we pray for anybody and you feel led to pray for them, just go right ahead. This is body ministry. We all pray for one another. So has anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about or be prayed for? Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering if you guys could pray on our living situation, just in general. Oh, because there's so much going on.
Okay, you need peace?
Something like that. Yeah, protection okay. And direction.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for putting peace in Anna and Mia. Lord, the peace that we just can't understand, but it's your peace, Lord. It's your joy because you're the one that's working in behind the scenes, Lord, doing the things that have to be done. And sometimes it stirs up the devil and it looks like we're not getting anywhere. But Lord, we know that your word is true and we're standing on it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for peace in that household. And Lord, we thank you for giving Mia and Anna clear direction, Father, for the things that they ask for, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to do that, Lord, through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and the word itself, Lord. and I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Is that all you need? That ain't nothing for Jesus to do, is it?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any testimonies or praise reports they'd like to share?
Hi, dear Michael.
Okay, Jackie, go right ahead.
I had it on speaker, sorry. About, I don't know how many months ago, it's been a while, but I've been praying for my family a lot, and I can't remember the exact date, but the Father told me that healing was flowing through my family for the glory of God. And those were the exact words. And my family was in town last weekend, and I was apprehensive about everybody getting together about, animosity or drinking or just spirits coming against it. And I bound up everything before I met them on, I think it was Saturday night. And I thought, Lord, I'm just going to go with a smile on my face, and I just want to shine for Jesus. And I went, and there was a huge difference in all of my family. We sat down and ate, and there was so much love. I felt such a deep love, like an agape love for them that I haven't felt for a long time, and such a pure, clean love. And then I felt that I've received it from my family, too. I felt myself giving it and receiving, and everything was just so perfect. The night was so nice, and everything seemed so well. And so I'm just standing in faith that every day is going to be that way. The next time I see them, I'll be seeing them, if the Lord wills, this next coming week, this weekend, and all next week. So just standing in faith and still believing that's going to happen. But I just want to praise the Father, because it was a huge difference, I mean, in most of my family. I mean, and I haven't seen that, and I haven't felt that. And I could see the Lord is changing their hearts. So I just thank you, Father, and I praise you for that, because it's totally awesome. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
And I don't know if Marlene is on. My cousin Marlene, but she noticed a big difference, too, because some of my family stopped at her house to see her family, and well, we're the same family, but anyway, she noticed a big difference, too, so it wasn't just me seeing it. It's obviously visible, so I praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Marlene's here.
Yeah, amen.
All right, that's an answer to prayer. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord.
Amen.
All right. That's a good testimony. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. I'd just like to give the Lord praise that our phone works. We fought that for several weeks. We never knew when it was working or when it didn't. If we'd talk and we called people to help us, and it never made any difference. And I really don't know what really made the difference, but we just give the Lord credit and thank Him that it works, because it worked last week and it's working tonight. So we just praise Him for it.
Amen. Yeah, it's working good. Thank you, Lord. It's not breaking up for nothing. Just like it was last week. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
This is Angelica.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I just want to thank the Lord for constantly being faithful, just always bringing me out of trial fairly quickly. For giving me the faith to close some doors, even on some people that before were a bit of a hindrance to my walk, but just for the Lord to be able to give me the grace and mercy to close the door and choose Him over all things. And so I'm very grateful for that, that kind of strength, that kind of faith. I know that's the kind of faith that we're going to need. You know, where nothing else matters but Him and obedience to Him. and just for some peace this week between me and my little 11-year-old son, who was working my nerve, but he gave us some peace this week, and he's healing him, and he's doing some wonderful things. So I just I want to thank the Lord and just glorify him for everything I know he is doing and everything I know he's not doing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your instructions on how to do that. Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? You know what one of the boldest prayers, I believe, in the Bible is over in Acts chapter 4. And the reason I say that is because this is a very gutsy, powerful prayer that got an immediate response from God. And I believe it ought to be put up into the Great Prayer Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, it's a great prayer. That was when Peter and John was arrested after that healing of that lame beggar over, you know, out there at the Gate Beautiful. That man had been lame from birth, and everybody in that town knew him who went to the temple. And when he got healed, it caused a lot of trouble. And then when that crowd gathered around and Peter and John began to preach about Jesus, that created another problem. It got them arrested, and they got to spend the night in the jail. And then when the next morning, when those Jewish elders and the high priest called for them to come before them, and what happened? Peter preached. And they knew, the people that were there knew that him and John were uneducated men, and they'd been with Jesus. But now, here they were speaking and acting with the authority of God. And these were the same people that had crucified Jesus. But what did Peter tell them? He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." Uh-oh. These leadership, man, they didn't know what to do. So what are we going to do with these men? Because they knew that a miracle had taken place, and it was apparent to everybody around it, and they couldn't deny it. So what did they do? They told Peter and John not to teach anymore, not to speak anymore about the name of Jesus, and they threatened them, and they released them. Only reason they released them, because he was scared of the people. And what did they do? Peter and John went back to their friends, and they told them everything that had happened. And what happened then? Man, the prayer meeting took place. They raised their voices, and every one of them prayed in one accord. And the ending of that prayer was this: "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus." Man, that fear had left them, and the disciples of Jesus was evident in every one of them. And what Jesus did, he placed boldness, authority, and power in every one of them. Everything changed on the morning of Pentecost when that Holy Spirit fell on 120 up there in the upper room. That filled every one of them to overflowing. I mean, they were drenched in the Holy Spirit. And Peter preached that dynamite sermon where 3,000 people were saved right there on the spot. And they were They just kept going. They weren't getting afraid in the dark. They wasn't afraid to suffer the same fate as the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were right out there in the midst and thick of things. They were healing the sick, preaching the gospel, adding to their numbers daily, turning their world upside down. You know what they asked for? He said, Lord, take note of their threats. You know, you'd think they'd say, and protect us against these enemies or something like that, or remove them from our influence. But instead, they asked that God give them greater confidence when speaking his word. That's what they did. The antidote for their threats was boldness. They wanted more boldness. And they asked for two more things that was likely to get them in more trouble. They asked for more healings to occur, and they asked for the signs and the wonders to take place. That healing of that lame beggar got them rested. And now they wanted more healing. And what did he do? God's response to their prayer. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, listen to this, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I wonder if that shaking wasn't something like God applauding. He was clapping up there in heaven. Yep, I'm going to get that one for them boys. I'm going to get that boldness right there. Y'all see that? That's my men right there. That's them. That's the ones I want right there. Wait till you see the healings I'm going to put on them, boy. Wait till you see the signs and wonders I'm going to put on all them folk. You ain't seen nothing yet what I'm going to do for that bold bunch of folks right down there. That's God talking up there about them. Man, that wasn't a prayer that they had to pray and fast and wait over. After their prayer meeting, they rushed right on back out into the world and threw themselves into the work of the kingdom of God, and they had phenomenal results. Huge numbers of people came into the kingdom. Man, they were bold. They saw healings. They saw signs and wonders following them after they preached the word, and they continued to get arrested, jailed, flogged, and even some of them got killed. Most of them got killed. They were persecuted terribly, but that only caused the message to get out more. They wanted the advancement of God's kingdom more than they wanted their own safety. How many of you want to be able to pray like that? To pray boldly like that?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, me, I want that.
Me too. I want to be bold and enough to walk up to somebody in a wheelchair and say, get up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you want to preach a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people fall down on their knees and rush to the altar and want to be saved? How about raising the dead? Amen. All of that. I believe God is going to do that for those that are hungry for him in the next little bit. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Let the shadow do the healing.
That's right. That's right. And I don't think it was the shadow. I think it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was all over them folks that looked like the shadow. It's okay. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I believe that people are going to walk down that has the anointing of the Lord on them, walk down the street, and people are going to be falling down and crying out for mercy from God. In repentance. I believe the spirit of repentance is going to be on this planet. And the people of God are going to have to be ready to know what to do and be bold in their faith. And don't worry about the cost of that boldness. Now, Satan, he's not going to put up with having his kingdom disturbed without some payback. But, you know, we all should think that it's worth it, whatever it is. There's people right in the world today, even today, they think it's worth it to give their lives to get out the gospel of Jesus. There's people in China, they're giving their lives daily. There's people in the Middle East giving their lives daily to get the gospel out. Are we going to be that away when the time comes? Do we have that same fire in our belly? And we don't mind a good fight, a good spiritual fight? Pray that prayer. And the world needs the results of that prayer right now more than they ever did. And when we get that shaking, is it going to be God applauding us too? He going to be sitting up there clapping. Uh-huh, there he goes. That's my man. That's my woman right there. Lord knows we're going to take care of him. We're going to take care of her. You angels get down there and follow him and her around, because we're going to see some signs and wonders. We're going to see some healing. We're going to see some dead raising. We're going to see some stuff here now. They're going to experience it because they love me and they believe in me. They're in bold faith to believe me. And if they're going to believe me that much, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to back them up. And I believe it too. Whew, glory to God. I can get fired up over that now. How many of you want to shake it when you pray?
I do.
I do too. I'm telling you, I do. Angelica, we're going to pray some night. We're going to be up. All of us going to get shook up. But it's going to be a shaking of the Lord God applauding our faith and our boldness toward him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory to God. You know, here recently, I don't know if some of you have ever read Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that is one powerful sermon for evangelists. If you ever get a chance, get online and you can hear Max McLean, who is a voice actor, someone who does, you know, he's got a good voice and he does a good rendition of that. And it's in today's language. But boy, it is powerful as an evangelical tool. And when he preached that, that's when the Great Awakenings, part of the Great Awakening started up in Connecticut, in that area of the 1741, I believe. 1741. But it's people like that that go out and they do what the Lord has told them to do. And they preach what hasn't been preached before. That type of message had never been preached before. They were always trying to tickle people's ears, you know, during those days. And trying to keep the peace in the church. Man, he set them on fire up there. People come running to the altar. He described hell so well. And told them that they were just a heartbeat away from falling out of them. And they was walking on swamp ground, fixing to fall out of the swamp into the depths of hell, you know. And, oh, man. And people could just envision themselves, these sinners, these old sinners that had been sinning all their life, came to Jesus because of it. God prepares the way. And he wants us to give the message that he's given us. Woo, come on, Jesus. Y'all ought to be getting fired up, I'm telling you, because we're going to see some mighty stuff here shortly. Some mighty stuff. If we're not careful, it's liable to be sooner than later. And we're going to need to have that bold faith. Glory to God. All right, I'm going to hush here and let somebody else talk. Somebody got anything they'd like to share?
Well, I wanted to just talk about what you were saying right now. I noticed, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I noticed that I'm 33 years old, so I guess maybe the generations before me are pretty timid and just really reserved in their faith. And I know that spirit of timidity is not something that we should be having. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. concerning that. Have you run into that? Like, the certain generations are just kind of reserved in their mannerisms, and sometimes, you know, when the Lord calls for it, he may require us to be bold in our faith and, just make people uncomfortable. And I've kind of noticed that.
Well, let me just say this. There are people with certain types of personalities, and God uses them in a certain way. But when you have leaders in churches that are humble people, but they're fiery preachers, that's what God wants. He wants fiery preachers. He wants preachers and teachers. He wants teachers first and foremost to know what they're teaching about and to experience what they've already taught, what they've taught. Okay. But if you, like in most of the churches we got today, they're just trying to get the people in and out, you know, and kind of tickle their ears on Sunday and get the coffee can filled up with money and that kind of thing. It's the ones who have given themselves to Jesus, the ones who have, who don't have any kind of a talent to speak, that he gives this great. Remember, he did that to a lot of preachers in the past, Elijah and all of these guys, you know, in the past were humble guys. Moses was humble. Boy, he was bold there at the last, though, wasn't he? We need to be bold in the Lord and humble to men. But we need to be bold when we're speaking the word of God and understand what we're talking about and know and have experienced it. I found out early on, if you're bold in the faith, you're going to see miracles. Y'all have heard my testimony about getting healed in that Bible bookstore. Just had gotten saved in that Baptist church. And that guy came up and asked me if I had something wrong with me. And, of course, my wife and my daughter were with me at the time. And I had just been diagnosed with rotating cuff problem in my right shoulder. And they were going to have to operate on it. And I was not looking forward to that. And he told me, you want me to pray for you? And I just thought he was talking about going home and praying, getting in his closet and praying for me. I said, sure. So he said, he told Jeanette, he said, put your hand on his shoulder. I said, you're going to pray for me right here in this bookstore? It's a big, big bookstore there in Little Rock. And he said, you want to get healed, don't you? I said, go for it, brother. I was ready. And my wife put her hand on my shoulder, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command that shoulder to be healed right now and the pain to go. He said, now, lift your arm where you couldn't lift it before. And I did. I said, well, I couldn't scratch the back of my head, and I just turned around there and scratched the back of my head, and there wasn't any pain. I said, glory to God. And I knew from that point on, I knew that God healed because I experienced it myself. So anything that anybody told me that Jesus didn't do about, he didn't heal anymore, I knew that was a lie straight from the pits of hell. And so that got me in a lot of trouble, but I was bold in my faith because I knew God did heal.
Amen. But yeah, we can miss out on God's blessing if we kind of hold back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what I'm saying. I've seen many, many miracles because of that. And God has tested me. My goodness, he has tested. Well, he's tested all of us. He's tested every one of us. One time I won't tell that. He does. He tests us. So we need to have this bold faith, and we need to be able to speak up when God wants us to speak up, and he wants us and shut up when he wants us to shut up. Amen.
Amen.
And, And you're right, Angelica. We have to be bold in our faith and trust the Lord that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. If you have that trust factor in there, that you believe and you trust God's going to do it, and he's given me the faith to believe it, bless God, you're going to see it. Beyond any kind of whatever happens in front of you, don't believe. That's what I'm saying. Man, there was all kinds of things that were off. Kinds of things that'll come up before you that make you think that they're not getting healed or you're not getting healed or something like that. Don't believe it. Just rebuke the devil. Say, I ain't believing that. Glory to God, I'm healed. I'm delivered. I don't have to put up with that. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, devil. I'm a holy, walking child of God. And I'm healed, not under the curse. Now you get on out of here. So that's what we have to do. Amen. All right, anybody else? Any other thing you'd like to? Yeah, Gano.
Well, you're so right, and you got to tell him to get out almost every day.
Absolutely.
Because he keeps wanting to bring stuff back.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, we have to be very persistent, that's for sure. I had a really short dream, but I have a question on the end of it, and would it be okay if I shared it, and then you can maybe answer my question at the end?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the way it started out, I was speaking with a young woman, and she wanted to learn how to garden, and so I gave her some seed, and she took it home with her, and she was really excited about taking this seed home. And after she left, I got to thinking, well, I didn't tell her how to really get stuff, you know, to come up really fast. You know, like if you soak the seed first before you put it in the ground, they'll come up really fast. And I had forgotten to tell her that. So I went to her house, and she was in, first I was thinking it was kitchen, but there were no appliances. So it had to have been like a pantry. And the shelves went all the way to the ceiling, and she was standing in there, and there was really just room for her to stand in there, but everything was stacked clear up to the ceiling. And I was trying to explain to her about soaking the seeds, you know, so that they would come up faster. Well, then a little container of baking powder fell off the shelf, and it just, you know, almost fell right in my hands. And I really, you know, I just put it back up there. But anyway, what kind of came to my mind about that, because everything was stacked clear to the ceiling, and she was just a short little person, kind of like me, and it's like, you know, there's no way she can reach all that stuff that goes way up there. But, you know, she was really interested in learning how to garden. But I was looking at all this stuff, and, you know, and I knew, okay, she has all these items in her pantry, and they're all important to her, or they were at one time or another. And, you know, but obviously some of them couldn't be in use because they were way out of her reach. And what I really felt was that the Lord had called me to spend some time with her, and whether one would maybe call that discipling her in God's ways. That was just kind of the feeling that I had, and that maybe that the things that were up high and out of her reach, maybe those were some things that, you know, she had been getting information here and there, but some of the things maybe she didn't understand, and maybe she didn't have discernment to know if she should keep them or not, if she should use them or not. And I guess I'll give you the verses. I asked for two verses, and the verses I thought were really good to go with the dream. The first one was, "But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much rather, therefore, justified now by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him." And I was thinking that she was a new believer, and she was excited. And she was excited about the word. And the next verse I got was John 14:12. "Amen, amen, I say unto you, who believeth unto me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask me anything in my name, that will I do. And my question on this is, I felt that I was called to minister to this young woman. That's what I was feeling, you know, that was what I was believing from after I had this dream. But then as I was pondering on it, it's like, okay, so if this is a new believer and as a woman, I'm not to, you know, teach doctrine, what would be the appropriate way for me to help her?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Gayno. Well, to be honest with you.
Well, it is a question a lot of women have. I know that.
I know.
You know, it is.
Yeah, it is. And if she asks a question, you can answer it.
Mm-hmm. Answer it with scripture or?
You can answer it with scripture and then say, well, you know, just to back it up, you know, we'll ask Marlon. You know, or something like that. But you can get her guided in the right direction, I feel like. Now, I know what the scripture says about women teaching. It says women are to teach younger women how to, you know, love their husbands, raise their kids, and do all of that kind of thing. But it also says it's to teach them the right ways. And so that would also fall into that category, in a sense. Now, to teach major doctrine, I don't know, you know, I don't think so. But as far as leading them in the right way, somebody, if a woman asks you a question about that, well, you can just tell them, well, here's what I believe, you know, mm-hmm. and go with it in that direction. But as far as teaching them, you can lead them to the Bible studies. You can lead them to the books that are, you know, that we have out there, or anybody else that you know that is some good teaching on whatever it is that they want. That's the way I'd handle it. And then go through it with them. You can do that. You can go through
I had that question, too, if going through that with them, because, you know, those are the books that David has written. Those are what we do our Bible studies from. And we have just really gained so much understanding through them. And honestly, when I was thinking about this, that I wanted to mention to her that she needs to soak the seed, I was thinking that that could be speaking of, you know, meditating on the Word, praying, just being in the Word every day, soaking it up, you know, so that she could get kind of a jump start on learning the things of God, that she should do it a lot, not just a little bit, but a lot. But anyway, that was my question, just what would be my part?
Well, I'll tell you what we do in our Bible study here. We ask everybody to read it, meditate on it, and bring something some revelation that they got from it. Now, if you have a revelation from God, who's to shut you down? You know, nobody. So that's the way we work it here. And, you know, there's a fine line, but there's a lot of leeway when we're in a group together with men and women. Women can give what God has given them out, you know, and like you're talking about, you can take a book to them. You can show them it, read it, and go over it. And you tell them, you know, we'll get together tomorrow. If you can't get together with anybody else, just get together with them. And you just tell me what you learned, you know, that kind of thing. That ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right. And sharing testimonies and that type of thing.
Absolutely.
Would be fine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And words from God, you know.
Right.
Those words from God.
Okay.
Amen.
If I may, the Lord gave me scripture and what may be some interpretation. 1 Corinthians 3:5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom will you believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And I believe that the pantry might represent just maybe doctrine or the fruit of men or the way kind of men package in like meat, fruit given by men. And you're sent forth to give her the seed or to plant the seed to help her, you know, for the Lord to give the increase to bring the true fruit of Christ in her life.
Well, yep, sounds pretty good to me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Angelica.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I guess that was what I wanted to share, and I just, you know, I had that question at the end after I kind of was, you know, thinking about it. It's like, okay, so what would my part be? You know, I had given her the seed, and you know, and things that you said, those were really things that came to my mind, you know.
Okay.
Sharing Bible studies and books and that type of thing.
Yep, that would be good.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else? Anybody get a word today? Well, let me see here. I think I got Psalm 71.
Michael?
Yeah.
I had some missionaries call me this today. They were missionaries in the 70s, right when I got saved. And I had a fear of the dark. And so her the couple, the husband, cast the demon of a fear out of me. And of course, and it, you know, it never came back. It helped me just grow. Well, this is many years ago, and they've had children and grandchildren, and they called me today and said, would I pray for their grandchildren? Oh dear, I had the names of these diseases. But anyway, her husband, the fellow that delivered me in the early 70s, has it's a disease. And their 23-year-old girl has a terrible disease, encephalitis, I think she said. Had it listed here, and I can't find it. And then they have another granddaughter that goes to sleep like she faints about three times a day. And they used to be just real fighters of, you know, in the faith. And so they knew my mother, and I reminded them of my mother in her 80s, how when the Lord, when the doctor said she had a fast growing cancer, that they wanted to cut off her breast and under her arm that same day, put her in the hospital because she was going to die if she didn't. And of course, my mother, being a seasoned Christian since she was 14 years old, just told the doctor, honey, I'm going to be just fine, because she knew it was impossible for her to have that. And of course, I was a baby Christian, you know, when this happened, and I was with her, and I really at the time thought she should do what the doctor said, but I kept my mouth shut because I was still learning. Well, and then a week later, I took mother back, and just to, you know, and the doctor checked her, and she did not have cancer, but she did have cancer. And of course, that example has helped me through the years. You know, I want to copy my mother, and you know, it encourages me. Well, they know my mother. She was, and because my mother played the piano for all of the full gospel meetings and stuff like that. But their faith, I don't know what's happened to them. I haven't seen them in a long time. So anyway, would you agree with me that they're healed? We know they're healed in the name of Jesus. I would like for you to pray, and I'll agree with you in tongues to break what's over them, because they used to go to Italy to do missionary work all the time, and they would come back here, and they were really strong Christians, spirit-filled Christians. But something has happened. So I'd like for you to pray that they will get stirred up again, like that, you know, because they're called of God, and not give up. Because they've just, when they called me, they just felt like they had given up. So
okay.
We'll get them fired up again. I plan on, you know, talking to them some more when I have some time, and to encourage them. But thank you for praying that, and I'll just pray in tongues.
Okay. Well, Lord, You know who these people are. And Father, they used to have great faith. Don't know what happened, but you do. So we're going to come against the enemy, against them, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you look after this bunch in the name of Jesus right now. I come against this doubt and unbelief, this confusion, this rebellion against you in the name of Jesus, and I cast it off of them right now in Jesus' name. Double-mindedness, you go in the name of Jesus. Fear, you go in the name of Jesus. Doubt and unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to place in him that bold faith that Peter had, John had, Paul had. Lord, just place it into that man in the name of Jesus and that woman. And I thank you, Father, that they're going to take control. And I ask, Lord, that you anoint Linda to speak that bold faith and wisdom that you're going to give her, Lord, to speak that will encourage them and awaken the fires of God inside their spirit, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And I thank you, Father, that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, this is going to be the start again of a family that's on fire for God because they see clearly now. We command those blinders of Satan off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for granting repentance for their unbelief and drawing them to you in a mighty way, Lord. And they're going to be bold and they're going to see lots of people saved because of it, Father. They were evangelists at one time, missionaries at one time, Father. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you make missionaries out of them right here in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you that you're going to do that. And we're going to hear the great and good testimony from Linda that they have grabbed a hold of the message of faith and are running with it. And Father, we thank you that you're going to keep their eyes focused on you from this point on in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that they're going to give you the glory and not any kind of a man. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Linda?
Thank you, Michael. Yes, I agree with you 1,000%.
Okay. Praise God. We're looking for the good report.
Well, they're good people, and they were wonderful teachers. And so I'm just excited. You're getting me excited with that prayer. So thank you so much, and I'll report in.
Okay. Praise God. Anybody else want to pray? Well, all right. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? What about it, Chad? You got anything?
Michael?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I got something.
Okay, go ahead. Who is this? Is this Mia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And then it goes on, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Praise God. Yeah, that's a good one to go along with what we just prayed about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because Linda and y'all were praying in the Spirit while I was praying. I know that. Praise God.
So that was Romans 8:25 to what? Was it?
8:25 to 8:27.
To 27. Thank you so much, honey. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
But I'm going to go on with 28, too. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Praise God.
That's good.
That Romans chapter 8 is full of good stuff. Amen. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'll share what I got this morning. It's okay. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14, but I'm going to start reading in verse 11. And leading up to this, it's about the events that lead up, some of the events leading up to the second coming of Jesus. And for this cause, God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they shall all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then this is the verse that I got, 13 and 14. But ye are bound to thank God always for you brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and by belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the Lord Jesus Christ's glory.
Amen. That they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo, come on, Jesus. Amen. Walking in holiness, and then you obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God, that's a good one. All right, anybody else?
I got a verse in Jeremiah 16, verse 6, and this is again where he's sending trials their way, and it says that's going to be before the restoration. They first have punishment and then restoration. Both great and small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. And I like the last verse of this chapter where he says, therefore, behold, I will cause them to know, this once will I cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So in the end, they will know who is sovereign over all. And that was the verse I got. And I was also going to share the one that Tracy got. She got Acts 1, verse 25. And I think she said to read 24 and 25. This was, you know, after Judas had betrayed Jesus and they were going to choose another person to take his place. So Acts 1, verse 24 says, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show of these two the one whom thou hast chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away, that he might go to his own place. Anyway, that was the one that she got today. Thank you.
Okay, praise God. Yep. The Lord chooses all the apostles. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? In the morning meeting this morning, I got Psalms 71. And my finger was on 14, but I'm going to read 1 through 15. Okay. Whoa. Let me mute you, Linda. Okay. All right, it says in Psalm 71, in thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness and rescue me. Bow down thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. for thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. If you will praise the Lord continually, you're going to see a lot of things happen. He loves the praises of his people. And it goes on to say in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You ought to be just walking around praising God. That's what we all ought to be doing, just praising God for everything that happens. So it don't make any difference whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Praise God for it. Praise him on the hilltop. Praise him while you're in the valley. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak concerning me, and they that watch for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. And let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Ooh, praise God. Him shouting words again. Yeah, we need to be praising God all the time. You praise him when you're sick. You praise him when you're well. You praise him when you're up. You praise him when you're down. I know here a while back, I walked around the back of my truck and barked my shin on my hitch, trailer hitch back there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It sticks out behind, underneath the bumper. Man, I barked my shin good. And years ago, you would have heard a lot of cussing. But, you know, all I did was just, thank you, Lord. He's taught me over the years when something happens and I hurt myself or something like that, some stupid act that I've done, you know, I just praise him. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm going through this trial. Thank you, Father. And, you know, the pain just goes away quicker when you do that. It really does. Thank you, Lord. Praise him for everything. All right. Anybody else get a word? Okay, anybody got anything they'd like to share? It's the time. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Everything going all right, girl?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed.
All right, praise God.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share?
I have a prayer request for my sister.
Oh, hey, Terry. Okay.
Hi. I think I requested prayer last week, and I have a praise report that she has continually gotten signs from the Lord that he's with her and he's given her lots of support, and she's continuing to lean on the Lord, and she is feeling much better, much, much better. And she's a nurse, and because she lost so much work, they were thinking they were going to have to fire her. And she said there was just one very small chance that she could keep her job if her doctor would send a letter to her job. And so she just didn't think he would call back, but he did. And he said he sent the letter. And so she says that just might work and she might be able to keep her job. But even if she doesn't, you know, she's still trusting the Lord that he knows what's best for her. And so I just want to pray that God will just do a great miracle and have her keep her job because she really likes working there and her boss really likes her and is really trying to help her.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for letting her keep that job. Thank you, Lord, for giving her favor with whoever it is that makes that decision. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for what you're doing in their life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You've already answered some prayers there. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Y'all know why we study scriptures is that so that our these spiritual eyes that we've got and these spiritual ears that we've got will be open and we'll understand the things of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus only did those things that he heard and saw of the Father. Now, we want those spiritual eyes and spiritual ears so that we won't be walking like a babe, but we'll be able to experience that word of righteousness he was talking about there. Hebrews 5 and 13, for everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, the word of God is called the word of righteousness because justification is through faith in the word. And what does justification mean? It means made righteous, accounted righteous. So when you speak faith and you walk by faith, God's counting you as righteous, just like he did Abraham. And he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him for righteousness in Genesis 15 and 6. He counted Abraham as righteous, and it didn't have nothing to do with salvation. It had to do with the fact that Abraham believed what God said. He believed him. And that covers just about everything. Not just what we normally think of when we're talking about salvation. God said Abraham was righteous. He called Abraham his friend because he believed what he said. James chapter 2 and verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And God still reckons righteousness. He does it the same way today. And there's a whole bunch of God's people out there who don't have any eyes or ears to see in the spirit realm because they're not hearing what God says. John chapter 8 and verse 47, it says, he that is of God heareth the words of God. For this cause you hear them not, because ye are not of God. So the righteous are those who hear what he says. Jesus was talking to the religious people, those Jews who did believe him. And he told them that. And if we're ultimately of the elect of God, we're going to find out. It's because we're going to hear God's word. People who won't listen to you when you try to gracefully give them the word of God, they're either not being drawn by God at that time or they're not children of God. He that is of God hears the words of God. So don't worry about it when somebody doesn't listen to you. Just pray for them. Jesus gave us that example. He didn't do anything but what he heard and saw. And that's what babes do too. And the problem is that sometimes babes are using the wrong ears and eyes because they're without experience of the word of righteousness. Speaking faith. You know what that is? That's calling those things that are not as though they were. Romans 4 and 17. That's a word of righteousness right there. And God's done everything right from the beginning that same way. He calls the things that are not as though they were. He didn't create the world in any other way, but he did it that way. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. There it is. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46:9. God speaks the end from the beginning. And what happens? It comes to pass, don't it? Now, he's teaching us as his sons and daughters to go ahead and do the same thing. But you're not going to be able to do that if you're paying attention to your natural eyes and your natural ears, don't you know? You'll always, if you do that, you'll always be inexperienced in the word of righteousness. And you'll always be a babe. Unless you begin to say the things the Bible says you ought to say, you'll always be a babe unless you begin to see the way the Bible commands you to see. And we need to be reminded a lot of how the scriptures tells us to see. Because it's easy to slip back into being in the natural, isn't it? You know what happens when you walk in the natural? You become worried, you become fearful, you become anxious, you become troubled because you're not seeing nothing happening. You start thinking, it will never come to pass now. Well, it ain't going to come to pass unless you have those spiritual eyes. You have to see the way God tells you to see. And what does he tell us? 2 Peter 1:2, he says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here it is. The more you know about God, the more grace and peace you're going to have. And then he goes on in verse 3. He says, seeing, well, you're not going to have grace and peace without that. You got to see this. This is where your eyes have to be. Seeing that his divine power hath granted, that's past tense, hath granted, it's already done, right? Unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And if you can see that his divine power has already granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness, then you can have it. And if you don't see it, you're not going to get it. Grace comes from being able to see in that way. Jesus was always bold when he spoke those things before they came to pass. And you've probably never seen a miracle either that you didn't speak first before it came to pass. I don't believe I ever have. And those biggest miracles that I've ever seen were bold statements of faith that was in front of everybody that was watching. In Joshua 10:12, it says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Aijalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua stopped that whole solar system. He spoke it right out there in front of everybody. And that sounds just like something a fool would do, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, when you put your trust in the Lord, he'll never put you to shame. I'm telling you. Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. If you put your trust in the Lord and you need that sun to stand still for a certain miracle, well, I guarantee you it's going to happen if you have the faith to believe it. I know you. We've prayed storms out of here, snowstorms and thunderstorms and tornadoes and lightning and stuff like that off of this mountain up here many times. And it's happened because we believed, you know. If you're going to see miracles, you're going to have to step out there sometimes and look like a fool. Don't put God in a box, folks. You put him in a box, you've limited him. Just believe him for everything that needs to be happening in your life. And we're not talking about saying things that you don't see. I'm talking about things that you do see. That seeing could be something that you see in the Word of God. Or it could be something that you got in a dream or a vision from the Lord. Or it could be a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom from the Lord. See, that sin can come many ways. And one foundational seeing is that God has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's already given it to us. And he's telling us this is what you got to see if you're going to have it. You can't be nearsighted, as Peter said. Peter he lists those Christ-like virtues first in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells you in verse 9, he says, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So this nearsighted person is somebody who sees with their natural eyes and not their spiritual eyes. And you can't have these gifts, these virtues of Jesus Christ, if you're nearsighted, right? James chapter 1 and verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. You ain't looking at Jesus in the mirror now. You're looking at your old ugly self. And somebody who sees their natural face in the mirror becomes a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, don't you know? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here's what we ought to be doing. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We got to see Jesus in that spiritual mirror. We have to see him with spiritual eyes and call those things that are not as though they were, because the only way that God does his work is through our faith, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, for behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, did God choose. Yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory before God. So God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. What are those things that are? Well, that's the curse. What are the things that are not? Well, it's what Jesus accomplished over there on the cross. He gave us sonship at the cross, didn't he? But it hadn't been manifested yet. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And if you don't see him as he is, you can't be like him, can you? So we study the scriptures, we study the word of God so that we can get a vision of Christ and we can see him as he is. Now, he had a vision of his father's, and that's why he did what he did. So we have to study the scriptures to get a vision of Christ so that we can do what he did, what he lived, and how he lived, and be what he was. Most of the church out there, the denominational churches and those that call themselves non-denominational, say that's not possible. But they say that because they're only counting on their own strength. They don't count upon the promise of the Word of God. And that's backed up by God's strength. We don't have to worry about it. We just have to believe. That's our job. And if God says in Matthew 5:48, ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, you can have the faith in him, and he's going to do it to you. Now, that word perfect is different for every one of us. I'm not trying to make a cookie-cutter Christian out of us. I'm saying that the Greek word here for perfect is teleos, and that's the same word for mature. Now, God is maturing every one of us to do a different job in his kingdom so that we don't all look alike. You have a job, I have a job. We all have a piece of the puzzle, don't we? And we're all supposed to be growing into the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's what we're supposed to reach. That's God's promise to us. Are you going to believe what you see according to your natural senses? Are you going to be one of those bad report preachers? Remember them? Those were the spies who went into the promised land and said, no, we can't take it. We like grasshoppers in that sight. We just have to settle for where we are right now. We can't overcome them. We're always going to have to be a sinner, right? We're a sinner saved by grace. No, that's not what he wants. Numbers 13:31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Well, they were looking with their natural eyes, wasn't it? And every one of them who believed that died of the plague in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the promised land because they brought the bad report. So we need to bring the good report so we don't get that curse. Numbers 14:28 says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me, surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. That's because Joshua and Caleb said in Numbers 14:9, he said, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What they tell the people, they said, those giants out there bred for us because the Lord's backing us up. And if they're bred for you, that got to mean you're supposed to eat them and they'll cause you to grow, right? That's what it's all about. Those types out there of the giants, that's the natural man who dwells in the land of the promise. That's your self-life. The spiritual man's got to go in there and he's got to kill that giant and take his house. And that's the body of our flesh. We have to kill the flesh. Allow the Lord to kill it for you. And in type, we're the land as well. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, for the land which has drunk the rain that cometh up, cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected, and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. Now, we got to drink that rain, that's the word of God, because we need to do that in order to bring forth the fruit of God. But in that land, there lives the carnal man also. That's the Canaanite. That's the enemy that got to be put to death. We are going to kill him and we're going to live in his house instead. Got to kill everybody in that house, don't we? As the inner man is being renewed, the outer man is decaying. 2 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And if that inner man is not being renewed, that outer man is decaying. For the Bible promises us divine health. And you can avoid a lot of sickness by just denying them the ability to take that authority over you. You could tell that sickness, I ain't permitting this. You got to go in Jesus' name. And if you've been willfully disobedient, That's the only way that it can deny is if you've been in willful disobedience. That chastening is going to come upon you. You know that out of Hebrews 10. But you're still supposed to accept what the Word of God says. When that judgment came upon the Israelites who sinned in the wilderness, God still told them to look at that serpent on the pole, didn't he? So that they could be healed. So if you're in willful disobedience, you still, after you repent and get back in line with Jesus, you can still cast that curse down. Now, it's not to say that you're not going to get a chastening, because you probably will. But you don't have to endure it very long. Numbers 21:4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, set it upon the standard, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he looked into the serpent of brass, he lived. Well, just like what happened there, sometimes we think, well, I've received this chastening because I've sinned against God, so I guess I'm supposed to keep it. No. You got it because you sinned. That's right. But you're still not supposed to keep it. You're going to keep it as long as the chastening is upon you, but your job is to consider it already done and not to consider how long it's going to take for God to chasten you out of your sin. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible tells us today. We're to keep our eyes on the serpent on the pole. And the way we ought to be thinking is, my sin and my sickness was put on Jesus. I am delivered. I am set free from the power of darkness. Praise God. That's the way, that's the attitude we ought to take, even in willful disobedience after we repent. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, one of my favorites. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You see that? And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. He says, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. And he gives us power to tread on them serpents and scorpions. That's demons. Over all the power of the enemy. Ain't nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we've got total authority over all the power of the enemy. And our authority is by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. And that's true, that between the time you believe and the time the healing or other deliverance is manifested, God might give you a chastening, but that's not what you're supposed to be thinking about. A lot of people, when they get chastened, they want to keep it and dwell in it for a long time. You don't have to. You need to keep your eyes on the serpent on the pole. That devil's a great deceiver, and he'll tell you that you're never through being chastened. He'll keep you that away the rest of your life. He'll sit there and tell you, you ain't got a choice. You're going to have to die with that. Oh, that's not what we're commanded to see. 1 Peter 2:24, y'all know it. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon a tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. He took our sins away. And we ain't got to sit there and struggle with them. Jesus bare our sins in his body on the cross, and that's where our faith is supposed to be. Because we're calling the things that are not as though they were, just like Father Abraham did, right? Look what happened when the Israelites fought with the Amorites. They were the ones that were ruling over that promised land. Now, that name Amorite means prominence. And what's the carnal man? He has been the prominent ruler in our promised land most of our life, hadn't he? In Joshua 10 and 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thy hands. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. And by the power of God, that's when Joshua did the miracle of stopping the soldier system. Praise God. That's awesome. Then it goes on in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 5. Going back. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God did that so the Israelites could win over their enemies. And he'll do anything to enable you to be over your enemies as well. Who's the enemy? Well, those five kings who ruled over the promised land That's the five kings that rule over our promised land. They represent the five senses. So when you're ruled by your carnal senses, your actions are based on what you feel, you see, and you hear. But Jesus didn't let none of that rule him. You could slap Jesus on the cheek and he'd turn the other one to you. He wasn't moved by what he felt, saw, or heard. And that's the way God's sons are too. The sons are not moved by what they see, hear, and feel with their natural senses. They're only moved by the word of God. And if we're going to be sons, that's the only way that we can be moved. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop and see what y'all have to say about it. Anybody got any comments? Do y'all believe that we can come to the time to where our senses won't affect our way of thinking at all or won't affect our faith at all? If you keep your eyes on Jesus all the time and understand he's on the throne up there and God the Father's on the throne up there, you don't have to worry about it. Go ahead. Somebody was trying to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that I agree with that because we are to conform completely into the image of Christ. Inside of Christ, if we don't stop, we can make it 100% fruit.
Amen. And the way to get that faith and the way to get that spiritual eye and ear is to know what the Word of God says. And the only way you can do that is to study the Word, right?
Study to show yourself approved.
Yeah,
my mother put that in my Bible when I was a little girl, and I didn't read the Bible
awesome.
A lot later.
Awesome.
That's it. Study to show yourself approved.
Absolutely.
Where we'll be wanting nothing. Like, you know, if we keep it up and never stop, we'll want for nothing. And we'll be walking like Jesus inside of Jesus.
Amen. Walking in his steps. That's the way he wants us to be.
Amen. I'm excited.
Amen. Yeah, that's the way he wants us to strive forever for our, what do you say, Angelica?
Well, I was just going to share real quick. When I first came to the Lord, one of the first things he did was cause me to shut off the music that I was listening to. It was feeding all the worldly things and lust and desire and all that garbage. And it wasn't until later till the Lord gave me that revelation about the senses. You know, basically we're defiled by our senses. And when we come to repentance of all of the different you know, basically the ear gates, the eye gates, and all the different things that we do to defile them when it comes to repentance, you know, we close the door, and then when we read the Word of God, it's quite the opposite, and it's just that renewing is pretty amazing when you see it happening in your own life. And but yeah, it's an awesome revelation, and it's, you know, the Word of God speaks to every single one of those senses, you know, to renew them so that we can think as Jesus does. And it is really amazing.
Amen.
Michael?
Yes.
What helps me is to finally understand that the Word of God is God's seed, God's DNA, and his DNA was put into us in our spirits when we were born again, just like, you know, the seed was put into Mary to make Jesus. We have the same equipment to grow up into Christ if we water ourselves with the water of the Word, and then we overcome our mind, will, and emotions, and our body. You know, our mind, soul, and body needs to be perfect, and that's how we do it. And it just kills the flesh off, and we're this new creature, like Jesus inside of Jesus, that can do everything that Jesus did. And more, he said.
Amen. Yeah, he said the greater things you're going to do. I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to be.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to be jets on this earth, you know, just overcoming, you know, and finishing Jesus' job efficiently.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We have to run after the Lord with our whole heart. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
You know, I was just thinking this. God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. if the church doesn't know they have this opportunity, they'll never finish their course. That, and that's why it's so important to know the Word of God, you know, like you're preaching. The church just doesn't know this part, most of them. They don't know that they can go completely finish this race like Jesus did, like Paul did. Now we can. And since I know it, boy, I'm going for it. But there was a time earlier when I was a baby Christian, I didn't know that was possible. But I know better now.
Amen. Yeah, we learn. And once we learn, boy, we need to latch on to it and walk it out.
And the encouragement of this conference call is so precious because we're kind of out here alone across the United States. The outpouring in the early 70s, there were teachers and we were learning, but I don't know where everybody is, but it has changed. And so this call is a gold mine for God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the teachings that David has on site are just precious, and they're good. They get us going. You know, they're a start. They're a start. We're supposed to take it and go deeper with it.
Yeah, it's a treasure. It's treasure, and I think that's what everybody's doing on this conference call. You know, we're on the same track, I think.
Yep, I believe that. I believe that. Okay, well, we're kind of running down here. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share before we close out here? Any kind of prayer request or share something? All right. This is, what is this, Tuesday? I'll tell you what, let's do. Everybody ask the Lord for Thursday night. Ask the Lord for a word. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask y'all, is there a question that you'd like for all of us to ask the Lord for Thursday night? Is there something that's been on your mind that you'd like to get an answer from the Lord about? That's going to have to be one at a time. Y'all can't just jump in here all at once.
I have a question in my heart for the Lord.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't know how I would present it to you, but just I want to be able to minister unto the Lord the way He requires us to minister to Him, and just get in His presence. Just, you know, I know there's people that just able to just get into His presence just swiftly and quickly, and I would like the Lord to show me how to do that. So I guess that's a question and of sorts.
Okay. All right. That's a good question. That is a real good question. Minister, ask the Lord for next week. I mean, for Thursday, everybody ask the Lord how we are to minister to the Lord the way He wants us to. Give us a word, Lord, showing us how to minister to You the way You want us to. That's the word for Thursday night. We'll all get something, and we'll see what God says, and I'll bet you He's going to show us. Amen? Is that pretty clear to everybody?
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, write it down, and don't forget, so Thursday night, we'll get a word, we'll get the word, and see what God says. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be right on target. Well, Lord, I just thank You for Your word. I praise You for Your word, Lord, because that's the life that we live is through the word, Father, and we thank You for it. We thank You, Lord, that You're placing the love to get the word in us, Lord, so that we can have these spiritual eyes and ears to discern the things of God around us, Lord, and we praise You for it. Father, I ask for Your anointing on everybody here to get that word for Thursday night, and it's going to be one, Lord, that You're going to be pleased to give us. Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you're our God, you're our Father, you're our friend, Jesus, and we thank you for being our friend. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our life. It is just awesome, Lord, to see the things that you're doing through your people, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a good night's sleep too. Give us dreams and visions, Father, of the things that are going to happen. And the warnings that you want us to warn about, Lord, that you want to give us, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. And Father, protect us, provide for us, and get us prepared for the things ahead. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless you. It's been a good night. Thank you, Lord.